Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Call his wife in 406. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got you for another hour as we take you to the warm-up show at 5. 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side. He's lucky enough to not be on camera when he yawns. But I got to tell you, yawning is contagious. So now I'm feeling I'm going to do it because I saw him do it.
I'll take the hit one for that one. That was 100% me.
All right. So we started this morning talking about the Jets. And the coach. And to me, listening to him even yesterday, the day after, talking about Justin Fields, there's, as we will go on and debate it, and I heard the afternoon show and I heard Joe, yeah, Sunday was arguably the worst head coached game I've ever seen. That's the worst coached game I may have ever seen. When you take in everything into it, I don't know how you do worse. And particularly not playing Tyrod Taylor to show that you don't believe in the quarterback and yet be unwilling to bench him as well. It's just a direct conf. I'd rather be wrong than incompetent. I'd rather bring in Tyrod Taylor and lose and be wrong than like incompetent. And so many contradictory things, whether it's going for the fake punt. And have you seen the fake punt too, by the way? Everyone's killing him for the fake punt. It's the first time Breece Hall has ever been on a punt team, and the entire starting offensive line was lying. Like, they literally told the Denver Broncos they were running a fake punt. But he runs a fake punt just to run out the clock. He tells you he doesn't trust the quarterback. He never makes the change. Like, it's just, it didn't make any sense. But even forget all of that. Forget all of that, because now the Jets are 0-6 and the season's over. And as we debate whether or not he's going to be a one-and-done, debate whether or not this is the worst first-year coaching job we've seen from the Jets in forever, you know, what's the status of him and Muji? Like, there's only one question for me now at 0-6, right? And forget even tanking, because I don't think they're going to need my help. The question is, at the end of the year, they are going to draft a quarterback. In April, they're going to draft a quarterback. Because that's where they're going to be, and they don't have an answer at that position. And are you going to allow a coach that, for all of his faults on Sunday, under normal circumstances, I really don't think he's an idiot. I don't think he's a bad football guy. Like, I think he's a smart football man who's struggling being the head coach of the New York Jets when he thought he was perfect for it. And he made some dumb decisions, and he has had a brutal first six games. Could he get better? Could these be all learning steps for him? Can he take a lot out of these losses and get better? I suppose. Not impossible. But that's not the question. Because at the end of the year, they're going to have to draft a quarterback. And what he's shown you so far is outing and getting rid of Aaron Rodgers so that he could bring in Justin Fields. This is who they wanted. It's who they wanted to be quarterback in the New York Jets, specifically Justin Fields. And just that idea that they would bring in a quarterback who isn't capable of playing the position and then bring him in and not really design an offense around his limited skill set makes absolutely no sense. And earlier yesterday, you got news that Callahan was out in Tennessee, and we have seen top quarterback pick after top quarterback pick be failed by their head coach. It's the last four consecutive top overall quarterbacks drafted number one overall in the NFL have lost their quarterback, lost their coach, rather, either halfway through the season or into the next season. Like, it's become a trend. Are you going to allow this coach who's shown you no reason to believe in him after what's bound to be a hideously, you know, losing season with minimal amounts of wins, enter next year under the hot seat because of that and allow this coach and this GM who insisted on bringing Justin Fields to pick who the next quarterback is and then begin the grooming process when most likely you're going to end up with a situation where he's gone that year or early in the quarterback's career, and now you're doing the same thing that you've done doing to Cam Ward, the same thing you did even going back to Daniel Jones, where you are changing coaches, changing offenses, bringing a new coach, a new era, a new GM, who have no connection to this kid, have no connection to the pick, didn't make the pick. Like, it's just, it is terrible timing to be a terrible head coach for the New York Jets. Like, it just is. And a defensive-minded one at that. So to me, that's the question that I suppose Woody Johnson and whoever else makes the decisions around there are going to have to ask themselves. At the end of this year, do I want to go in to the most important draft and the important season for the next 5 years of the New York Jets? Because you're going to draft a quarterback and you're going to develop one. Do you allow him to make that pick and begin that process under the hot seat of a miserable first year? Knowing it's probably not going to get better with a rookie quarterback? Or do you clean house at the end of this, bring in a new regime, bring in a new GM, bring in a new head coach who's got an offensive background working with quarterbacks, and begin that process linked together with the new regime making the decision, picking the quarterback, and the expectation of a coach that can develop him? Because I don't know what we've seen from this coach that would make you feel that he's suited to be a part of that decision-making and that he's suited to be the head coach for a young quarterback. I don't know what we have seen. And it doesn't mean he's a miserable head coach who will never get better. It just means he's had a miserable year. He's a defensive-minded head coach. And the timing could not be worse, and he shouldn't be the man to make that decision. And that's where the Jets are going to, you know, find out the rest of this year and into the offseason. And Woody Johnson is going to have to make a decision on whether or not he's the guy for that, because it's more important than the wins. It's more important than anything else. We're watching it right now with the Giants developing Jackson Dart. It changes everything. Brian Daboll was an idiot 2 weeks ago. Now he's a madman beating the Eagles and going into the blue tent. Now he's finally got what he wanted. He got the quarterback he wanted. He drafted the quarterback he wanted drafted. He insisted on playing in week four. He was right on that. Like, that's why I wanted to keep Brian Daboll, because he never had what he has right now. The quarterback he believed in and the ability to develop him. And we're seeing the difference that has made for the entire franchise. That could be the Jets, believe it or not. And I know you can change the uniform, you can change the coach, you can change the owner, you can change. I get it. You get the right quarterback in here with the right coach, it will change. It will change. Is he the guy to make that decision? That's the only thing left when we are now moving on from the Jets. They're 0-6. They're irrelevant. We're not going to talk about them much anymore except what a disaster they are. But that's the question as we pondered all day Monday, and I heard show after show talk about it and caller after caller talk about it, and I'm just thinking, I heard Beningo echo it. I said the same thing yesterday. Like, all that it comes down to now is if you think he's right for that particular task, because that's all that matters. All that matters right now for the New York Jets from now until this time next year is specifically, who do they draft? Who's developing him? It's the only two questions left to ask right now at 0-6. And is Aaron Glenn that guy? And has he shown you any ability to be that guy? 888-808-1019. We talked a lot about the Giants as well. We'll get into that as we go through the week, because I believe this game against the Broncos is a pendulum swing of the season. If they lose, they are 2-5 team, where all that matters is how Jackson Dart plays. If they win, and especially looking at what happened last night, with Chicago beating Washington in Washington, obviously the Cowboys losing to the Carolina Panthers, the Giants obviously beating the Eagles on Thursday. This division right now could be up for grabs. And the Giants, if they win this game against the Denver Broncos and they go to 3-4 heading into Philadelphia a week from Sunday, where with the way they're playing, maybe they're 4-3. But you've already got a win against them. That game is literally to decide if the Giants are going to be contenders in the division. They win that game. They win this game against the Denver Broncos. They are 3-4, playing for a right to consider themselves a contender for the NFC East. If they lose it, they're 2-5, and all that matters is how Jackson Dart plays. That's the kind of pendulum swing this game is for this season. 888-808-1019. Tom in Queens. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how we doing? I need your opinion on this. Which way would you go with the Giants? Now, say we beat the Broncos, say we beat Philly.
Oh.
Do you go after a really good wide receiver, put together some draft picks, and go after somebody, or do you let it just ride out with who they have? And is it possible?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know. It depends on, like, what type of wide receiver you're talking about where you mean draft picks. Like, what stud wide receiver is going to be available? Because they're not easily traded. Like, is there trades out there, you know, for a solid run-of-the-mill, better than some of the guys they have, wide receiver? Yes, I would look to improve the wide receiving position. I would. I don't know what I would trade. I don't know what level I would trade. But I would look to improve the quarterback, the wide receiving position. But I don't think you're looking at getting anyone of significance.
But would you try to go all in and just say, we're going to go all in and give what we get to try to get somebody really, really good?
No. I don't think. Who are you talking about? Give me a name. And how he becomes available.
I'm not even sure. That's why I said I wanted to get your opinion on it.
No, because, I mean, who's really good that's even available for trade? Like, I mean, you're going to talk about, like, you know, Chris Olave with the Saints, or, you know, you're not getting, like, they just signed on the contract. I'm trying to even think with the Bengals. You're obviously not getting Chase. I don't think you're getting either of them in Cincinnati. You're not getting Jefferson. You're not getting, I don't know who you think you're getting. You're not getting anybody. Like, that's, even if you package, like, what are you going to package? No, that I'm not doing. I'm willing to trade 3rd and 4th round picks for a pretty good wide receiver, maybe a fourth or a fifth for a wide receiver that's, you know, lost his favor somewhere. But where are you going to get a stud wide receiver? Like, none of the teams right now are out of it enough where I'm trying to just think where you would even go. Like, don't give me Garrett Wilson. I'm not going to trade Garrett Wilson. Forget that. I'm trying to look at bad teams. Would the Dolphins trade you? Would the Dolphins trade with you right now? Would they give you Waddle? I'm trying to think of bad teams and wide receivers. Judy with the Browns? Like, those are the kind of receivers you're looking at. I don't think you're going to get anybody else. I'm just looking at teams. I can't think of anybody that would give you. I mean, you're not going to get. You're talking about, like, Judy with the Browns. So the best one I can even think of off the top of my head is Waddle with Miami. It's hard to trade for top wide receivers like that. It's not easy. And these teams are all competing right now. Like, these teams aren't giving up on their seasons. So, no, I don't think that's plausible. You might be able to upgrade the wide receiver position a little bit, but you're not going stud wide receiver. I hear what you're saying. Look, again, because that's where you get thrusted into. You get thrusted into, you're competing for the NFC East, or you're a legitimate team, and now all of a sudden, you know, little Jordan Humphreys isn't a nice little story. Now he's somebody you're looking to improve to really go out there and make a threat. Bo Collins suddenly isn't someone, oh, great, look, it's a benefit. I remember I took a call on Saturday who talked about the idea that it's been a blessing in disguise for Jackson Dart that he lost Neighbors. that it allowed him to not feel the pressure of having to throw to a top wide receiver and not make him happy. You know, he's had some incidents of being unhappy, but that's been more about losing. But yeah, like the idea that him having to spread the ball around, him having to work with lesser wide receivers, him having to make it happen without having the safety blanket of a neighbor's, I don't agree with that sentiment. I think it sucks right now. I mean, I think it's hindering his ability too. I think it's hindering his progress. Like, there's something about having that, and I want to build the camaraderie between those two. I want to get them used to playing with each other. I want to build the timing. I want to get them going. That's you're looking for the great players. You're looking to have the next Cowboys, right? You want to have Aikman, Smith, and Irving. You want to have Dart, Scataboo, and Neighbors. You want to have the triumvirate. I don't think it's a blessing in disguise, but that's what sucks about losing Neighbors, because as you progress, if they continue to win, you're right, this wide receiving core leaves a lot to be desired. I still think it's serviceable enough. We'll see, you know, Slayton can get down the field if he comes back. I mean, he was making Hyatt look good. It's not a blessing in disguise, but the idea that Jackson Dart was able to make Hyatt someone who is impactful in the game when he hasn't been for a day in his giant life is, it makes you look at him in a, it was almost a more impressive victory for sure that he's doing it with these guys. And it took a game because they did not play well. Bo Collins just completely stopped running a route and led to, I can't remember if it was the first or second interception from Dart. Like, so you're building something and it is impressive. He's doing it with lesser weapons and he's doing it without Neighbors, but no, I don't think it's a blessing in disguise. And now it puts you in a position where you're looking to make that trade for a wide receiver. I don't really, let me see if John has an idea, but John in New Milford. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. I was wondering what you think about possibly waiting 2 weeks and elevating Juice Wells and giving him basically Hyatt and Bo Collins reps this weekend based on him being Dart's number one at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, It's someone to, you know, mix in. There's no doubt. I don't know if it's anything where I would feel great about it. Let's be honest. We saw Garrett Wilson's with his former college quarterback. It hasn't exactly paid dividends. I think that's probably a little bit overblown. I don't think this is the same as basketball. It's not like you can get the Villanova 3, the Nova 3, and suddenly play with chemistry on the field like that. Maybe a little bit. I mean, I'm not opposed to it if the Giants feel like it's in their best interest, but it's not anything where I think it makes a major difference. I don't look at it and go, well, that should dramatically improve the wide receiving core. Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
The thing is, when the season is over with the Yankees, right? We were talking about, oh, they are a championship team. Now the season is over.
Yes.
Now here comes Giants with one good win.
Two good wins.
And basically the Philadelphia win. Let's be real here and talk about it. 77% of the time, a Thursday night game, when the teams does not practice and they come after a loss and they're playing away, those teams, even their bad team, 78% of the time, that team wins.
The Giants hadn't won a Thursday night game since Tom Coughlin was the coach. So don't tell me that, like, you know, oh, hey, listen, that's not a big win. They haven't beat the Eagles in a significant spot in forever. The Eagles come to the Giants Stadium Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. I don't care where they come to Giants Stadium. They kick the crap out of the Giants. You want to say that I'm going a little too far? You want to say the Giants aren't good? Fine. Don't diminish a victory against the Philadelphia Eagles because I'm not going to listen to it.
Okay. I did not diminish charge home run. The next game, you are out of the series. You guys make it a big issue, and then the next game, your season is over.
Yeah.
So make it, put a stoppage to and make an ugly, and then you get depressed out of this. The Philadelphia will blow you out. The Denver Broncos will blow you out next week, and then you will cry because you are hyping up this quarterback like a crazy guy.
That's not a media problem. Cut it out. I'm not hyping up any. We watched the game. I watched the game. Did I say he's going to win league MVP? I picked the Saints. Like, You can't deny what happened Thursday night, buddy, as much as you want to. It happened. It happened. He played great. The team looked completely different, and they kicked the crap out of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not going to diminish that. I'm not going to talk about it. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to tell you that it's not different than what we've seen for forever with the New York Giants. Sorry, it is. It is. And yeah, Judge hit a big home run. That was his moment. I thought it was going to unlock the offense. It didn't. It didn't. Doesn't make it not a big home run in the moment. It doesn't make that a not. If they lose to the Broncos, it doesn't mean that wasn't a big win in the moment against the Eagles. I haven't even said they're going to beat the Broncos. I'm talking about the importance of the game. I just got done saying they lost the only road game he's played. He's going on the road to play the Denver Broncos, which are a good defense and a playoff team. I didn't say they're going to win it. I'm saying if they do, that this is the importance of the game, is that it changes the Giants' season. That's all I've said. I haven't even said they're going to win the game. I said it's a winnable game. They can win the game if they play their best. And if they do, it changes the season. It does. It's a pendulum swing of a season. They lose it, 2-5. You can kind of forget chasing anything. And it's more about how Jackson Dart plays. If they win it, then they have an opportunity against Philadelphia, who they just beat like a drum, to really make themselves a presence in the NFC East. I'm talking about the opportunity. That's it. The opportunity. The opportunity is there ahead of them to win two games and thrust themselves into contending for the NFC East. That's all I've said. Maybe they will get blown out. It's a road game with a rookie quarterback against a really good team. I have no misconceptions about what's going on here. It was a really nice win. They had two really nice wins. Beating the Chargers was a good win. And beating the Eagles was a great win. Follow it up with a win against the Broncos, and then you're heading into Philadelphia with an actual season on the line. An actual meaningful game at the end of October. And Omar, you're a Knicks fan. You know what it's like to feel like that has been decades. It's been, you know, it was decades since they were playing meaningful games like this into November. Sign me up. Yeah, I'm going to get excited about it. I'm going to get excited about it. This is what I don't understand with fans in some area, and particularly Yankee fans, but now I guess even Giant fans or anybody. Optimism is free, man. It doesn't cost you anything. Like, even my guy Keith, I love my guy Keith, but he's always like, you know, he's big on like, you know, stay down till you come up. Why? Like, I just, like, what's the difference? I'm allowed to be excited about the New York Giants. It doesn't cost me anything. And if they lose, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, can you believe how excited I got? Man, I really enjoyed myself for a couple of days. What a fool I was. Who cares? Who cares? I'm excited now. I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm not telling you they're going to go be a playoff team. They're going to go win the Super Bowl. They've got an opportunity on Sunday to beat a Broncos team that they can win and can beat. And if they do that, the following Sunday becomes the biggest regular season game I can remember. That's all I'm saying. Let's get there. Let's get there. Because they can get there. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. And I'll have trolls on Twitter, and I'll have trolls in the chat, and I'll have you calling me saying, oh, look at you talking about Jackson Dart. I don't care. I'm going to get excited. That's what sports are about. Like, I'm sorry. I don't just sit around and wait for them to win a championship to be happy or to enjoy myself. I don't just sit around going, well, I guess it's good and all, but are they going to win the championship? I mean, what's the difference? Who cares? No, it's all meaningless unless there's a parade. And that's not me. I get up, I get down, I get excited. I like the regular season. I like the sport. I like watching them. I get up for big wins. I get down for big losses. That's how it works. That's how it should work, as opposed to just waiting until they actually win a championship to give a damn. Are we fans or are we title collectors?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right, 434. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I did want to just get in one thing before we get back to the calls. As we talk about the Giants, and man, the amount of people who don't understand what the hell they listen to, it's mind-boggling. I did not say they would win. I did not say they would beat the Eagles. I am talking about what those wins would signify. That's it. I'm talking about what would happen if they won the game and how that would change their season and how that win against the Eagles was big. Call me crazy.
It's like imagine listening to a classic rock station 24/7 and calling up like, I don't understand why you play the Beatles and the Stones once an hour.
I know.
That's, like, enough.
I know. No, I know. Crazy to me. But anyway, I did want to talk about Pete Alonso. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. As obviously, reporting has indicated that Pete will be looking for a 7-year contract in this offseason. If he gets it, it will not be with the Mets. Let's put it that way. Let's just put it this way. Real quick. I don't think he's going to get it. But if he gets 7 years, I can't imagine Stern signing off on that. If he gets 7 years from the Mets, You know that is Steve Cohen who just completely gave in and gave him and Boris whatever he wants. So, like, Steve, he can ask for 7 years. Nobody wanted to give him 5 last year. And I know that he's now coming off a better season. I know that he's not going to have any picks attached to him the way he had them attached to him last year with the qualifying offer. So I do expect the numbers to get bigger. But nobody wanted to give Pete Alonso 5 years last year. There is no way he is getting 7 years at 31 years old. And let's be honest, as great as he was, the concerns about his body and his defense only got worse in the second half of the season. He had an incredible first half offensively and an incredible first half defensively. I was even talking about he should be up for the Gold Glove. After that Senga overthrow that led to the Senga hamstring injury, he was never the same defensively. He kind of looked, the offense wasn't as good either in the second half. I'm fascinated by Pete, and I understand, look, hey, you put out 7 years, you end up with 4. Like, I get it. It's the early demands. But, like, we all know he's not getting 7 years. Like, he's not getting 7. And here's the other thing, too. Stop connecting him to the Yankees, I promise you. He is not signing with the New York Yankees. The Yankees are not signing Pete Alonso. But it's going to be fascinating to where Pete values himself because I am very curious to see. Like, there are options out there for the Mets. There are options out there to do different things. Right? You got Bregman, who's probably going to opt out. Could you go there and transition one of these guys to first base? Pete has acknowledged that at some point he's going to be a DH. Like, there's different ways to go about building this team. And I've talked about it, like the core for me, I understand, you know, the Yankees haven't won either, but this core hasn't just not won. Like, they don't make the play. They can't put together back-to-back playoff appearances. And this year was an out-and-out debacle. So, yeah, it's easy to say trade Jeff McNeil. It's easy to say maybe Nimmo could be on the move. But, like, Pete's the one who it's real easy. All you have to do is not do anything. All you have to do is look the other way. And we all know he's not getting 7 years. Like, that's for sure. But he's going to get money. and he's going to probably get four or five. He might get five, and he's certainly going to get upwards of $30 million a year. I really do think he's going to get close to that. He's going to be close to $5,150. He's going to be close. Are the Mets going to give that to him? Is Stearns going to give that to him? I think the owner might, but I find it very fascinating. He's come out, and you could tell the only thing that the 7 years indicates to me, because I don't think he'll get it, but the 7 years indicates like he means business. And I'm not surprised, because I'm sure he feels like he got screwed last year. As much as he ultimately got the most money ever for a first baseman per year at $30 million, and as ultimately as he ended up with the team he wanted to end up with and played with the Mets one more year, there is no doubt the love shown around the league probably annoyed him and disappointed him. The way the Mets handled it probably annoyed him and disappointed him. And I'm telling you, the love around the league is going to be different this year without picks attached to him. And coming off another monster season where he's as proven an offensive slugger as there is in the sport. You know what you're going to get from Pete Alonso. You are going to get 30 and 90. And he's going to play every day. He's going to be excellent at the bag, at least. The rest of his defensive game went completely down the tubes in the second half. But I'm very fascinated to see what happens with Pete Alonso. But 7 years ain't going to happen, but it means... And, you know, listen, anytime you hire Scott Boras, you know he means business. But this could be another very difficult, very drawn-out process to sign Pete. And this time it's going to be different because you heard nobody else. Like, there was hardly another team that showed interest at all in Pete Alonso. Whether it's because they just felt like he was always going back to the Mets, whether or not it was the asking price, whether or not it was the picks attached, whatever the case may be, coming off a miserably, unclutch season for him leading into the playoffs and a down year for him. He was extremely clutch. He had a much better year. He's going to have no picks attached to him. There are going to be more suitors for Pete Alonso. This is going to be a long, drawn-out process. Before we get into any of the other situations that we're going to get into in the Major League offseason and who they could trade for and who they could... What kind of starting pitching can they go get? I was watching SNY today, and they're, how do you trade for Scooble? We'll figure it out. But Pete is probably, for the two teams right now, the questions really are for both teams initially. What do they do with Pete Alonso? What do the Mets do with Pete Alonso? What do the Yankees do with Cody Bellinger? Like, those are the immediate decisions the Yankees and Mets will have to face right out of the gate in this offseason. Once the season's over. 888-808-1019. Rocco in the Bronx. What's up, Rocco?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Great, great. No, I just want to talk about the Giants. The Giants have been pathetic for the past, 5-10 years, and there's nothing to be excited about every year except for that 1 year we made the playoffs. And even then, it was kind of, shady. But this year, if you're not excited about the Giants, after this win on Thursday Night Football, and to see what the quarterback and the running back did for the team, I don't know what to tell you. I haven't been excited in a long time, and I can't wait for Sunday night against Denver Broncos to see if we could compete. To me, competing will be enough. If we could compete and keep it us in the game, that'll be a victory. If we win, forget about it. We'll be tough. It will be a party in my house.
If they win this game against the Broncos, or if they win both?
Absolutely.
Next game. I agree with you. This game, look, say whatever you want. And no, I never said that the Giants, are going to win the division or could win the division. They are division contenders. So yeah, I guess I'm saying they could win the division, I suppose, because right now the Eagles look like, if they beat the Eagles twice and win the season series against them, you're telling me at 4-4, the division is now long gone. If they pull off these next two wins, they got to go do it. And I'm not saying they will. I'm saying this game against the Broncos is a pendulum swing of the season. They lose it, you can forget the division. 2-5, they're not winning the division. If they go on the road and beat the Broncos, and they are now 3-4, the next week against the Eagles now becomes a game where they could stamp themselves division contenders. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That's what it becomes. I don't know if they're going to win the game. They lost to the Saints on the road. I picked the Saints in the game in my picks. It's a rookie quarterback going on the road to a very difficult place to play in Denver with a good defense, but the game is winnable. And the way they played last week, they played that same game they played against the Eagles. They absolutely could win. See the Broncos offense against the Jets? But this is a tough game to win. He hasn't won a game on the road yet. Both wins are in MetLife. The loss was to the Saints on the road. He's got to prove, and this team's got to prove, they can go on the road and beat a good opponent. But if they do, that sets up a game against the Philadelphia Eagles that if they win that game, now they are stamped as division contenders. There's no doubt about it. That's it, division contenders, not division favorites, division contenders. Brett in Long Island, what's up, Brett?
Chris, before I get to the Giants,
you're still
trying to sell us on hitting home runs in the postseason.
I'm not trying to sell you anything.
As a formula to win.
Watch the games.
Okay. Yeah, well, then we would have had to have won, what, 11, 10, and 14,
no.
13.
No, so, why? You got to pitch.
We let
you
up 23 runs in the first two games.
No, I agree with you. I agree. The pitching really hurt them this series. Really, Max Fried absolutely killed them in the series. I'm not saying that. Listen, game four, they had an opportunity to win the game if they scored runs. They didn't score any runs. And it's not because of the style
hitting,
in which they're built.
Singles, doubles,
it's because they didn't hit home, it's because they didn't hit home runs. That's what they do.
Guys like Bellinger.
And what did he do in the series?
Right. But you need a guy like that, I'm saying.
And, I know, and
forward,
what did he do in the series?
Do we have enough home run hitters?
Yeah, I'm not saying he had more home run hitters. I'm saying the team is an on-base home run hitting team. They were the third best team in on-base in all of Major League Baseball. They were the top hitting home run team in all of baseball. They scored the most runs in all of baseball. That team is not built in some sort of flawed manner that cannot win in the postseason. We just watched the Mariners beat the Blue Jays. They hit three big home runs, and they struck out 14 times. They struck out and hit home runs. The Yankees more than capable of doing that.
So you would want to rely on that as my
not
point.
No, there's no relying
if you
on
hit
it.
Four home runs in the postseason game, you win. But I'm saying you want to.
How did
go
they beat?
Into
how did they beat the? How did they
theory?
Beat? No, because it's not just home runs. How did they beat the Red Sox? They didn't hit any home runs in that series. How did they beat the Red Sox?
I'm just saying
they pitched and they scored four runs on it.
I don't want to.
There is no
rely.
You got to rely on something. You got to rely on your players.
Home runs.
You can.
That's where we disagree.
You can win on home runs. They are winning on home runs. The Seattle Mariners are winning on home runs.
And hit 19 home runs.
The Seattle Mariners are winning on home runs. The how do you think they beat the Cubs? Go back and watch the Brewers who put the ball in the play, right? They put the ball in play. How did they beat the Cubs? They hit home run after home run.
The Yankees are built the last, how many years. I don't have to look at every single team, pick out a situation where they won. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm doing.
No, I know, because they
the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. And they don't hit the home runs. They don't translate. The players that hit home runs in the regular season don't translate and hit home runs in the postseason as well as they should. That's it.
Maybe the pitching's better.
Maybe the pitching's better. It wasn't the series against the Blue Jays were better in the series than in the postseason this series. The pitching was better.
Fine. And we just disagree. And the last thing is you're preaching about optimism.
Yeah.
You're the last guy to talk about optimism.
Yeah, but it's free when you give
how
it.
How many years?
Yeah. Because the Giants have given me no reason.
Now you're optimistic.
The Giants have given me no reason to be optimistic, Brett.
Optimism
now they
free,
have, and
remember,
I'm doing it.
Optimism's free. Why didn't you have it when Daniel Jones was here?
Because the beginning of the season was so terrible. I did have optimism. I had optimism heading into this season. Do you remember me telling you, Brett, that they were going to win both games on the road? That's how I started this season. I am optimistic when they give me reasons to be optimistic. That's it. The Daniel Jones Giants didn't give me any reason. I was optimistic going into the Cowboy game, and then they lost 40 to nothing.
Chris, the last thing, yeah, you're going back a couple of years ago.
But that you said Daniel Jones, that's a couple of years ago.
The last—he was here for 5 years.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say to you was 6 years. The last thing I'll say to you that you never commit. Why don't you commit? I think the Giants are going to make the playoffs. I said this.
Okay.
I said this on the air.
Good
Why
for you.
Why don't you say that?
Finally,
you
an opinion from the great Brent in Long Island. You actually have one. Good to know.
Do you think they're going to make it? Yes or no?
No, I don't.
You're allowed.
No, I don't.
You don't.
I don't.
So be optimistic,
no,
but to a degree. Remember,
yeah, I am optimistic. Just
to
say,
a degree,
you're asking me to make a decision.
Okay.
You're
smart.
Asking me to tell you what I think right now. If I had, they're 2-4. They're 2-4 with a rookie
way.
Quarterback. You dope. They're 2-4 with a rookie quarterback. Do I think they're going to the postseason? If I had to guess it right now, how could I say yes? I'm optimistic that they have a chance. They win this game against the Broncos. I start to change my opinion. They go beat Philadelphia. I start to change my opinion. I have to see it. But I'm looking forward to it. And I think they have a chance to do it. You want me to be optimistic about the Giants over the last couple years? I'm saying now that they're showing me reasons, I'll buy in. I was optimistic after the playoff run. And then it was 40-0. Oh, you're going back a couple years ago. You mentioned Daniel Jones. I swear, Brett, you're all over the place. And then you call me and say I'm all over the place. You're a maddening moron. Really? I was optimistic until it was 40-0. I was optimistic until the season was 1-6 with Daniel Jones hurt and playing backup quarterbacks. Excuse me if Tommy DeVito didn't give me a bunch of confidence. It's free. When I say it's free to be optimistic, is right now they're giving us reasons to buy in. I do need the reason to buy in, though, Brett. I do need the reason. They've given me one. Here I am. The beginning of the year, I was optimistic. I said they're going to win the first two games on the road. They embarrassed me greatly. Now I'm back on being optimistic because Jackson Dart's giving me reason to. I do need, you need an inkling of reason. I can't just blind optimism for no reason. And I also have to give my opinion. Right now at 2-4, if you're asking me, I have to tell you one or the other. No, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. You got three teams of four wins in the West. You got a Tampa Bay team. You got a Falcons team that just beat Buffalo. You got the Lions, the Packers. I don't think the Eagles are just going to fold. It's a lot of good. There's a lot of good teams that are two games ahead of the Giants right now. And they have a very difficult schedule. But they win these next two. Now they're stamped for division contender.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is my optimism.
Have something to say? Dial us 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Yeah! All right, 456 real quick. Let's get through the calls. I got you for just another few minutes as the warm-up show will come your way on this Tuesday morning. 5-hour midnight ride the next 2 days. A Wednesday and Thursday edition of the midnight ride as our baseball season is over. And we're gonna feel it with 5-hour midnight rides. That's okay, though. Let's go. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I think you need to pump the brakes a little bit about the division. And I think right now it's more realistic to be competitive, you know? If you really look at this, I don't think there's a way in hell that they're beating Philly again. Philly's not losing to them twice. I mean, how many times?
I don't disagree with you. It's a very, very difficult game to go in, but I'm just telling you that.
How many times did they lose to Philly in a row before this? They won.
How many times have they beat Philly by 17 points?
No, I'm saying before that game, how many times did they lose to Philly in a row? Like 9 times?
Oh, yeah. Not in a row. There was a game at the end of the season that meant nothing to Philadelphia a couple years ago.
If you throw that out.
Yeah. No.
Yeah,
it was like the last week of the season, second to last week of the season, and the Eagles went in and got their tails kicked in the playoffs.
You know what the line is now against Denver when they play Denver?
I haven't looked at it yet, no.
7.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty hefty line.
No, absolutely. They're underdogs in the game. They should be. I think 7 is probably a little high. I kind of like that for the Giants, but they should definitely be the underdog in the game. There's no doubt. It's a rookie quarterback who hasn't run a road game going up against a team that's won 2 in a row and projected to be one of the better teams, finally, you know, coming back home after being...
Yeah, let me leave you one last thing, because I know you got to run. Do you know what the line is now for them to make the playoffs? Plus 1,800.
Yeah. They're going to make the playoffs. I just said no.
But the way you're saying it, you're making people feel like...
I'm making people feel like this is an important game. My goodness, nobody... I swear, God, what is with you people? Man, oh man, you can't... I didn't say that. You can't bring any sort of enthusiasm to your words because, oh my God, what are you saying, Chris? They're going to win the Super Bowl? No, I'm saying this game against Denver is important. That's it. Golly. It's crazy. I do this every day, everybody. Hello. Every day I got to come on here and say things. You want no enthusiasm? You want no, anything behind it? I mean, just come on here and read. Well, they're playing the Denver Broncos on Sunday. They have a chance, I suppose. I'm talking about the game! And if they win the game, it's a big win, and it sets up a big game against Philadelphia. I didn't say they win either of them. I didn't say they're going to the playoffs. In fact, when asked, I said they're probably not. Man. Why do we have to end this way? But we do. The music's playing. I have no choice. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for attempting to listen. I'll talk to you tomorrow at midnight for a 5-hour midnight ride. Thanks to Fleegs. The warm-up show is next. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN New York.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.